And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show.
That's a terrible name.
So in this time slot, I guess this is no longer the Parkins and Spiegel Show, because the Parkins and Spiegel Show no longer exists. So we're just kind of, this is Score Afternoons.
I am Danny Parkins.
He's dead to me.
Hanging out with you, Score Afternoons. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone.
That is a delightful lineup of co-hosts that you have over the next couple of weeks here.
I never heard of half of these guys, and the ones I do know are way past their prime.
Most of these guys never had a prime.
The facts are, we lost our best player to free agency. Obviously, it's time for some changes.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but
I'm thinking about calling it Spiegel and Company.
Yeah, it's good to have fun with names.
You know what's fun about Spiegel and Company is it sounds a lot like Skibbity Boppity, Spiegel and Company.
Spiegel and Company live, presented by Social Furniture.
Sky rockets in flight.
This isn't part of the program.
Afternoon delight.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Delight.
No, please. No, please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoon Delight.
The Score Afternoon Show with
insert host's name here.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
We are the Starland Vocal Band all week long right here on The Score. Or is it? Anthony Herron in yesterday and today. Along with me, Matt Spiegel. Mark Grody will be in tomorrow. We're going to talk to Caleb Williams in this time slot tomorrow.
Yeah.
Me and Groats very much looking forward to it. Ryan Poles will speak tomorrow as well about the final roster, or the first 53 as delineated in transition, and that seems fair. Going to talk to Nico Horner in a little bit. But Anthony Herron, I'm reading your bio here on the website known as Wikipedia.
I
see an August
27th. Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
I am indeed. I see an August 27th roster removal for Anthony Herron with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Today, I got cut today?
20 years
ago. I thought we had 3 hours. What is this?
No, 2004.
Oh. All right. I thought I was auditioning for something.
You have
20 minutes into the show.
Anthony Herron, the tribe has spoken.
Snuffing torches already.
Snuffing torches at 2:22. Yeah, man, 20 years ago today. 20 years ago today, the Steelers said, we're good.
We'll have to celebrate that, man. That's an anniversary.
I don't know that. Is that worth celebrating? What is that like, man? That's got to be rough. If you were there starting on the 9th of August, and you're hanging out for 18 days, busting your ass, that must have been tough. One would think.
The first time you get cut, it's terrifying. Because, you know, you don't know what the rest of your world holds.
Yeah.
You know, you've been building toward this moment as a young, you know, as a youth sports athlete, as a collegiate athlete, and you get your shot in the pros, and you're really excited about what that future can hold, because you've been working so hard to get to the National Football League. And that first time you get let go, you don't really know what the great beyond looks like. Now, if you get cut, and like my situation, my rookie year, I got cut by Detroit, then came back and got an opportunity to get signed by Green Bay, and I went back to Detroit. And that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to, okay, there are 31 other teams who could potentially sign me, who could potentially pick me up, and other professional football opportunities. So the first time is just absolutely terrifying. Beyond that, it helps.
You know, if you don't mind, let's check back in on this idea on the 20th anniversary a little bit later on.
20th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
Did we get him a cake? We should have. Shane Reardon is back. Chris Tannehill is there. He's Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. The Bears cutdowns is the main topic on the course of this show. But coming up next, our Tuesday conversation with the Cubs' Nico Horner. That's next on 670 The Score.
Leaning on the second baseman, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The lead at second by Horner.
Nico is running and the pitch low and outside, stolen base. Here comes the 3-1 with the bags loaded. Nico takes outside to force in a run. Cubs have scored again and now lead 7-2.
Cubs take the opener here in Pittsburgh. I'll say 18 runs on 21 hits and finish it off 18-8.
Nico Horner.
Insert host's name here.
On 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Nico Horner appears to be joining us live from PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Right. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron here on Score Afternoons along with Nico. You're at PNC. You on the warning track? Where are you, sir?
Yeah, right field wall, right by the 320 sign. Watching the Pirates take some ground balls. Beautiful day. It's a little hot, but nice Pittsburgh day.
That is outstanding. That is a jewel of a ballpark for anybody who drives around the country collecting ballpark experiences. That's top notch. You ever sat in that one as a fan, or have you only been lucky enough to play in it, Nico?
Nope, just here as a player. But I think one of our favorite things as players here is walking to the field. It's always nice when you can do that, walking across the Clemente Bridge and taking in the city views. It's pretty beautiful here.
When you have an offensive explosion, let's call it, like you guys did last night, what are the conversations like in game? What are the conversations like between the rest of you as you feel like you've got an opportunity to really get something cooking and you feel the lineup in the flow like they were?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about that a decent amount this year of, you know, we all benefit when each other have success. And you definitely saw a good example of that yesterday because, you know, it's so much easier for all of us to produce when each other are having great at-bats like that. And I thought it was awesome, just even once the game was out of hand, just the quality of at-bat that continued and the base running and the quality of the contact and just everything like that. It's a testament to the guy's mentality and everything, and it was cool to see.
Is it the kind of thing where, like, you can exhale and enjoy yourself with some relaxation after so many stressful games and stressful days and all that kind of stuff? Hopefully you guys can enjoy that one as it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. It all matters. Like, every one of those hits guys feel, and, you know, getting Ian and Dansby off their feet there at the end of the game, and it all adds up. And cool to see, you know, Luis Vasquez get his first RBI, even if it's off of the position player and things like that. They're all fun and part of the group feeling good together.
So watching PCA on the base paths is ridiculous. What's the dugout chatter for you guys when you're watching Pete run and just not be stopped and look the way he does?
Yeah, I mean, when he walks, you know, someone always yells like nice triple or something. Like, it feels like he's going to be, you know, on third. And you know, no secret, but him and Amaya have been just incredible turning the lineup around and probably been our two best hitters for this entire stretch, and incredible for what that means for our group in this stretch and also for the future of this team. Obviously two incredibly important players for us to play through the middle of the field, play great defense, and then have that upside offensively that really makes a difference for us as a group.
He got robbed, man. The one time he's been caught stealing was on a rundown play. You know, that's the one time he was going to break Trey Turner's record. It's 30 steals without getting caught in a single season. I think Pete was going to do that, man. So he got robbed. That ain't right.
It sure feels like it. Yeah, that was it's kind of a unique messed up play. But until someone throws him out stealing second or something, I'll have that as no caught stealing in my book.
The way that the offense has shown so much life here as of late, obviously, you know, the inconsistencies can be what they are, but are you guys talking to Craig at times where you feel like you've got a beat on the opportunity for some of the additional aggression on the base paths at PCA and others, including yourself, have been able to showcase at times to really get things jump-started?
You're saying as far as, like, how we can take advantage of that as base runners or what?
Yes, and are you talking to Craig about those moments where you feel like that aggression can be something you can take advantage of?
I mean, he's a very player-friendly manager as far as giving us the benefit of the doubt. If we feel good, we feel confident and believe in something to go and be aggressive. And so, he's not stopping anybody.
In terms of Craig, like, the numbers in his Brewers years, they called it Craig Timber. Where, like, the Brewers won, I think it was 58% of their games in September during his time there since 2015. And the rest of the months, they won, like, 52% of their games. And I'm wondering if you've picked up on anything, if it's just the consistency of the style or like consistency of the demeanor. Does he know you guys better by this time of the year? I wonder if there's anything to that where his teams historically have played very well as the season has worn on.
Yeah, I mean, speak to his demeanor. I think that's definitely a big factor. He's not someone to panic. And I think September is often a month when no matter where your team is in the standings, you're getting guys thinking about next year, how their production matters for offseason stuff, and staff wondering about their roles, things like that. Like, that happens in any job. But, you know, the end of the year can be a time when people start getting focused on what's in the future. And I think he does a great job of focusing on the present day and instilling confidence in everybody around him. And that means a lot. So. Yeah, that definitely is a big deal. And then the interesting about the, like you said, getting to know your players, especially in your first year in place and as much roster turnover as we've had, I think just the ability to get our bullpen in a really solid place has been really impressive given all the injuries. And we talked a lot about their consistency here, but yeah, it's been really fun to watch.
When you have the opportunity where right now you're in the midst of a road trip, you're on the road together for a week plus at different stretches during the season, this getting to know you phase that we've talked to you about pretty frequently throughout the season between Craig, some of the pre-existing guys on the roster here, does being on the road together allow more of that versus the times where you're at home, you're sleeping in your own bed, like some of the camaraderie that everyone assumes develops throughout the year, does a road trip allow more of that?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of guys with families and kids that, you know, the time at home really is time at home, and you know, as it should be, but the road is a nice chance to hang out with guys, whether it's on the plane or in the hotel rooms or whatever it may be. We got our fantasy football draft tomorrow night when we get into D.C. and with an off day to follow, so that should be fun.
So where's the fantasy draft? In somebody's hotel room or what tomorrow?
I think there's just some space in the hotel we've got, like, reserved, and yeah, it'll be competitive and a fun time. The flight leading into it, and some last minute research for some, and some people have been on it forever.
Yeah, no, Dansby and Talkman are ready to go. I know that for sure. Where are you? Where's your research right now? You need any help?
You know, I've always never really was one to study a long time ahead of the test. I'm more of a night before guy, so. Yeah, trust my instincts out there, and I don't want to flutter myself too much.
Same commissioner every year that you guys are drafting against each other?
Yeah. So it'll be a good league. I'm excited. I actually got the first pick, so we'll see what I do.
So you're going Caleb Williams, of course. You know,
yeah,
understandably.
The undoubted best player in the NFL.
There you go. He's pandering. Who is the commissioner? Do we know who the commissioner is? I don't know if you've ever told us.
BJ runs basically the Cubs, but he's our behind the scenes everything man who makes this place work, keeps everything afloat, and he's a legend. So yeah, he's in charge.
So yeah, he's got the league on lockdown as well. That's outstanding. So who are among like the teammates? Who is a relatively new friend for you, or who's somebody who you're enjoying hanging with this year or in the second half of this year who didn't, you know, always hang with necessarily?
Yeah. Every year is totally different, and we're lucky to have some consistency now year to year that is a little better than in years past. But yeah, Michael Bush has been awesome. Obviously he's had an incredible rookie season and hopefully get some acknowledgement rookie of the year stuff, but he's been a great addition to this team socially too. Kind of joke, he's one of the only single guys on the team, so I feel like he has less commitments and he's always down to hang out, which I really appreciate. It's a great quality from a teammate and never shows up to empty-handed, and he's locked in on fantasy and feeling good about the Vikings, so we'll see.
Not walking in empty-handed. I mean, what's the treat du jour that he's usually walking in, or the beverage du jour?
Yeah, he's just a good guest. Like, he's always with a nice Minnesota temperament. I feel like he's always bringing positivity, and he's a great friend.
All right, well, you said not at the end, where like, is he bake brownies? Is he coming with a lasagna, or does he pick up a sixer?
Michael Bush and baked goods. That's every time.
You know what? I got to say, man, this team, there was a while where it was not super fun to watch, And you guys have become a very fun team to watch. I mean, there's still like frustrations, obviously. And Sunday, you're like, man, how could they not sweep the Marlins when the Marlins suck and they took the first two and all of that? But like, so many of the games, like for the most part, if I'm really looking at the last 6 weeks, or the last 8 weeks or whatever, I'm seeing a team that's playing pretty solid defense that runs the bases aggressively. As you mentioned, the bottom of the order is hitting. Bullpen has sorted itself out. The starters are doing their thing. It's like, I don't know how it felt to you during that stretch where it wasn't super fun to watch, but you have rewarded people who have stuck with you in that sense. And I wonder if you can relate to that feeling.
Yeah, I do for sure. And I, you know, like you said, it's no one thing. I think it's through the early parts of the year, we never had stretches where all parts of the team were firing at the same time. And whether that's health or just straight up performance, it always felt like we had the pieces for it and hadn't put it together. But, you know, that's why it's such a long season. And obviously those stretches have put us in a challenging place, but I'm definitely proud of the way the guys have persisted and continue to put like the best version of us out there. And it means a lot. And we're going to continue winning ball games and go from there. Strength of schedule plays a role too. But I'm impressed by the mentality of the guys around here.
And it's hard to zoom out sometimes when the season overall is frustrating, but it kind of bodes well for this core that for the most part isn't going anywhere between now and next year.
Yeah, look, I mean, for us here, like we are focused on this year. We are going to win as many games the rest of the stretch and make noise. And our, you know, the thoughts aren't on the offseason or next year, but we talk about guys like PCA and Miggy and the younger bullpen guys that have thrown well. Like, of course, that stuff matters. Like, you know, this is a team that's not going to be built to compete for wild cards. You know, we're here to win division titles and obviously beyond that. And that should be the standard for everything that we do around here. And so all those things definitely matter towards that.
And knowing that you've got ownership who has funds available, at least part of the conversation we constantly have on this station is whether or not the Cubs are going all in. And, you know, leading into the All-Star break, we had that conversation. Leading into the trade deadline, we had that conversation. Now transactions continue that maybe feel like there's not a full investment in kind of going for what's remaining this season. Is that something you guys are aware of, and how closely you monitor who's in and out of the clubhouse, you know, from sort of one game to the next with transactions?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't not be aware of those things. I think for us, as guys that are around each other every day, the first thing that stands out is just the personal side of it. Obviously, you build relationships with people, and no matter the reasons why teams move on from players or make moves, like, you always think about the person first. And same goes for guys that, you know, you used to play with, or Jay Hay in LA or whatever it is. You know, you want the best for people that, you know, work incredibly hard and put everything they have into this game. And, you know, as far as the direction of this team, that stuff is, you know, other than winning baseball games, is out of our control. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of the younger guys we've called up have produced too. So, you know, we've done a nice job with the guys that have come up, still helping us win the games.
Yeah, you know, props to Drew Smyly. At least from the outside looking in, man, that's a guy who took whatever role he was asked of. It's a dude who can start and has started effectively, but whether it was long or short or late or early or blowout in either direction, that guy has shown up all year long, and that's been impressive.
Yep, and he wants the ball, and he's taking the ball, you know, 3 or 4 days in April right away when a lot of guys don't even want to throw back-to-backs and a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, he's got a bit of an old-school mentality as far as pitching in that way, but also has continued to develop parts of his game, you know, as he's gotten older, that have kept him in a really great place, not just as another guy in the big leagues, but a guy who's still getting both righties and lefties out, and any team is the better team with him on it.
All right, a couple more things here for Nico Hoerner, who's kind enough to join us from the Warning Track at beautiful PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Talking to you in the clubhouse the other day about Miguel Amaya, and you said, he's going to be so good. And since you said that, Nico, he's got an OPS of 1.4. He's 12 for his last 24. That's my preferred line of demarcation. People go back to when he's changed the stride and went to the nose stride. I go back to when you said he's going to be so good, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, why is he going to be so good? What's going on with Amaya?
I mean, just the person first. I think it's important to remember how much time he missed in the minor leagues with unfortunate injuries and COVID and just didn't have the playing at the upper levels that I think really is important for guys to play in the big leagues, and especially for catchers. Oh my God, those guys have to handle so much. So for him, you know, I thought what he did last year was incredibly impressive, and then this year as well. And obviously you'd rather see a guy start slow and learn from challenging things and continue to show the best version of themselves like he has. And I just really believe in people that are able to do things like that. And just hasn't played that much at double A or higher yet. And it's an impressive thing that he's putting together.
You've been in your neighborhood for a good chunk of time now. What's been the go-to restaurant for you as you've had some time there this summer?
Beautiful Chicago summer. Yeah. Where are you dining, sir?
I've been cooking a lot more this year. We got a grill. I got a ball right on me right now. Brian Reynolds, Oppo, to the warning track.
That's awesome.
Danucci's is in Lincoln Park, walking distance from my place. Really like that spot. Got a nice outdoor area and great service. But I've been cooking a lot this year, grilling. Go to the farmer's market right by the Lincoln Motel and get a bunch of stuff there on Wednesdays and Saturdays and make some food. And yeah, it's been the go-to.
Yeah, man, that Green City Market is the truth.
Now, you said
it's the best.
You're saying grilling, Nico. I mean, we're talking gas, we're talking charcoal. What kind of grilling you doing?
Yeah, just a basic gas, nothing too fancy. Nothing to write home about, but when you got good ingredients, it makes it easy.
Do you know how many grills your guy Shane, our guy Shane Reardon, do you know how many grills Shane owns? Take a guess.
What does he have? The egg, the Traeger, charcoal, the gas? So probably four.
Four is the guess. Are we right about four, Shane?
You're spot on four. So Blackstone Flat Top, Weber Genesis gas, the egg equivalent, the ceramic smoker, and then the Weber kettle. You got to have everything just in case.
That's right. What's been the highlight of this year so far, or this summer?
Dude, I'm just like you, good quality ingredients. And I just I really got into smoking vegetables for smoked salsa. So you just throw a bunch of peppers on the smoker and then blend that up for salsa.
So do you roll those up in the rolling paper before you smoke them, or you just put it right in the pipe?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Speaks. We're trying to get Nico to talk about weed here. Yep, exactly.
The shishito peppers turn out really well from the farmer's market if you ever come across those.
So good. I get them from that one you go to. Yeah, by the bag. Yeah.
Man, you keep it so simple. It's like a little lemon and salt, and it's so good.
And Nico, that what you get at your dispensary, Sushito?
Sushito, yeah. Okay. That, I smoke those. I get them in edible form most of the time now these days. Nico, you guys scored 18 runs last night. Guess how much the Odyssey softball team scored? Guess how many runs they scored last night?
I'm going to guess either something on the extreme end one way or the other. So I'm going to go positive and say 27.
Good for you. No, 18 on the dot. You guys both scored.
Nice.
Guys both scored 18 last night. And fun fact, Shane wasn't there, and they still scored 18. Shows you a little something, in my opinion.
That's right. They probably got the scouting report on the team and put everyone down the right field line, but then everyone was pulling the ball, so helped them out.
And by the way, we've gotten some good intel from both Jameson Taillon and Dansby Swanson that Michael Bush has an extra suitcase that he fills with wine that makes its way onto road trips, and that perhaps is what you mean in terms of empty-handed. For Michael Bush.
It's his rookie duty. He has, I don't know if he's ever contributed to it actually, but he's in charge of it and takes care of it as his child. And you know, there's some stretches of the year that need some good wine with friends. So yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad he's doing a good job on that. Nico, thanks, man. I hope you don't get hit by another Brian Reynolds ball while you're waiting out there.
Yeah. Hopefully he hits it to me in the game though.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Keep it rolling. Thanks, Nico.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. That's Nico Horner from the warning track at PNC Park. That's a good dude right there.
Good dude. Good ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely place.
Nice casual convo.
I did see this today. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. Miguel Amaya has now passed Nico Horner in on-base plus slugging. I think it was Bleacher Nation that tweeted that. So Miguel Amaya had a horrific start to the year. And Nico, who had a pretty solid start to the year for the most part, if memory serves, Miguel has now passed him. Miguel Amaya on a ridiculous hot streak right now.
Between Amaya, PCA, you feeling pretty good about the youngsters there?
I mean, what's interesting is that Amaya was always supposed to be a good hitter. And Nico's right about the uneven minor league experience that he had and the uneven time. But that it's a big change, that stride to no stride, and that's the big change in the way that he's approached it. It makes you wonder whether they need to go out and get a catcher for next year or not. because you're looking around and like, well, where's the free agent ad? And there's a bunch of free agent articles out there now. Jeff Passan just put out his first piece about this coming free agent class. You got a lot of teams kind of starting to think about that and think from that perspective. Catcher's been the common talking point of where the Cubs need to add somehow, some way. I'm not so sure that they will. There's a AAA catcher named Moises Ballesteros who hits from the left side and is really, really good offensively. So, I mean, you could be looking at a catching tandem next year of Amaya and Ballesteros, and then you're looking around wondering where they're going to add that bat that they still need. I don't know.
I mean, you know, we're talking about them earlier, you know, between Smiley and just cutting a little money just to make sure that they're under the luxury tax. Between now and next season, it would seem to indicate that they're going to be willing to spend money if that's the direction they go. But, you know, having Amaya hit the way he's hit, having PCA hit the way he's hit, it at least gives them fun options. I mean, you should still continue to add pop, should still continue to add depth. But, I mean, to at least have development. We were talking development from early in the season, all through the struggles, and now since the All-Star break, it's good to see some development now. There's if they finish the season, finish September in the way that they are, you know, regardless of the postseason, but you're at least in a position now where you can make some decisions from more of a position of strength as opposed to need.
Possibly. And still not dead, even though the roster machinations may lead you to believe that some think they are. Yeah, that was.
Well, what did you think about Craig's reaction to it initially, though? Like just where he almost kind of blew it off, like not wanting to comment on it with Smiley at first? Was that just sort of a
Nico's reaction?
No. Craig Council, when he was initially asked about the Smiley transaction,
well,
did he seem perturbed? Like, did you read it that way?
No, not necessarily. I think he doesn't want to allow for the spin that was in the question.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to a noted Cubs observer and talker with a slanted bent that is very entertaining.
Sounds painful.
A voice that deserves to be on these airwaves other than just the early hours of the morning. We've decided, and we're putting that voice on, and you can pick six of your favorite questions to ask him. At 25 minutes after 3, Shane Reardon is back from Greece. Was it a delight, sir? It seems to have been a delight.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I came back. I mean, I came back for you guys, I guess, and for my dog. Just it'd be expensive to send her over there, but yeah. I can't believe I came back.
Yeah, you don't really want to be back here on a lot of levels, do you?
No, I mean, I do. I totally do. It was a trip of a lifetime, and I could expand it a later date or like, but I mean, I'll put all my favorite pictures on Instagram. People are following me over there, but it was the most.
Is this what it sounded like as you strolled down the cobblestone streets?
Legit, yes. You got like dudes sitting on the sidewalk just playing classical guitar that sounds just like this.
With nylon strings.
Also, lot of accordions. You got people on the sidewalks playing full-on accordions.
Did they walk up to you and say, can I play something for you and your beautiful companion?
No, but they say that from the sidewalk. They try to flag you down, or they've got a kid with them that tries to like bring you over. I mean, it's the most beautiful country I've ever seen. And I've seen four of them.
It's more beautiful than Canada?
I've never seen Canada.
Oh, wow.
No, America, Ireland, and Mexico, and now Greece.
God.
Greece, it took the top.
I thought Canada was a tip-in. Thought that was
definitely
easy.
Would have guessed Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. Wow. It was incredible.
That's lovely.
The best week and a half.
Good-looking people. A lot of tan, very attractive humans.
The women, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
You're allowed to say the men were attractive, too.
I mean, some of them, like the thing like carved out of a Greek god, they got, that is 100%.
But some swarthy, hairy, unattractive men as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like
in the smaller villages.
Greek friends and loved ones out there. Christos the Nestor. Aletheos the Nestor.
Yep.
So like your vibe, like the ball cap and big beard, that doesn't stand out around here. Does that stand out in Greece? Is there a lot of that?
Very much so. Okay. They do not have the big beards in Greece.
Okay.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I was being stared at like a circus animal.
I think he's really going to enjoy the next afternoon host, you know? Going to debut either next week or the week after. It's me, Matt Spiegel, Thanasis Antetokounmpo. That's who it is. I think he's really going to enjoy it.
Did we just break some news?
Me and Thanasis. Oh, it's going to be a great
but
show.
But he's on a 10-day contract, and only because his brother's here, too.
Right. And the entire time, Dame Lillard will be off to the side just laughing. Just completely laughing at him. It's either that or Lou Kanellis. We can't decide.
Now, Lou'd be all about this.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough jobs. He doesn't own enough restaurants. He doesn't have enough TV time.
I think he might have enough jobs.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
At 670 The Score, it's Spiegs and Ann Heron and Shane and Tanny. When we come back, the subtle changes in your life and mine. Now that Caleb Williams is on the Bears, we'll explain, and we're following the latest on all the roster cuts right here on The Score.